All right, if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And just be patient. We'll get there in a moment. I just want to briefly, just as quickly as I can, just recap these previous couple of Sundays as we continue this morning in our series, Forever Young. And this is the heart of God. God's word shows us that this is the heart of God for us as his people. That even as on the outside, the Bible says, we're outwardly perishing, that inwardly we would be renewed day by day. That inwardly our strength would be renewed, that we would soar with wings as eagles. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 17 has been one of our key scriptures. And it says this, that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Come on, say all people. Come on, look at your neighbor and say that includes you. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. He's saying right here, all throughout the Bible, he reveals himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, he's a multi-generational God. And that's the heart of God for his church, and it's the heart of God for Rev City. If you dig into our vision book, our values within our vision, one of them is clearly stated that we desire to not by accident, but by design and by intentionality be a multicultural and a multi-generational church, where every generation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, can come together and serve together and link arms and partner together and build God's kingdom. And listen, there's a reason why this tension exists in many churches where young and old are kind of wrangling over control of the church or the volume of the worship or the direction of the ministry or whatever it may be. There's a reason that there's this tension that exists because the enemy knows when three generations of believers link arms and gather together and serve together, we are unstoppable. Because young people have vigor and vision and innovation, and some of us that have lived a little bit longer have wisdom and have testimonies that the younger generation needs. Come on, young people, honor your elders. So this is God's heart for us. This is the heart of God. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 speaks to the younger of us. Come on, who wants to claim to be a part of that group this morning? I don't know why you wouldn't. And it says this to the young people, don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. In other words, be an example with what you say, the way you live, the way you love, and the way that you live out your faith. Young people, don't wait to start living out your faith. Don't wait. Don't buy into the lie that you're too young to be a leader. God's word says right here, even when you're young, set an example. And don't buy into the other lie of the enemy that says that you ought to go out and sow some wild oats and see what the world has to offer. And maybe someday after you've gone out and seen what that's all about, that then you'll circle back and serve God and get back in the church. You may not have the chance. And listen, I'm telling you, that's a decision that I made and I regret it. And I'm grateful that God will take what the enemy meant for evil and he'll take the things that I experienced and he'll redeem those things and he'll use those things. There's no doubt that he will. But if I could go back to that moment in time where I made that decision to rebel against God and live for myself and make the other decision to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to at an early age begin to set an example with my life, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because there's nothing I tasted, nothing I experienced out in the world that I wouldn't quickly exchange for the pleasure of knowing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't wait to live out your faith. We need Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need the young people leaning in and leading the way and helping to build what God is doing here. So then to those of us who are aging, and by the way, that's all of us. Studies show we spend $1 trillion globally every year fighting the causes of fighting aging. And I've told you, it's a losing battle. Come on, it's a losing battle. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of ourselves or do whatever you can, but it's a losing battle. We're all aging. Come on, you might say, come on, Pastor T, I came to church, keep it positive. I'm positive you're getting older. But God's promise to us is that it says this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. On the outside, I'm getting older. On the inside, my spirit is being renewed. I'm becoming youthful. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. And that's what Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5 says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God, that even as we age, that we stay vital, that we stay youthful in our spirit, that we stay fully engaged in the purposes of God for your generation. Getting old is unavoidable. Acting old is optional. And you might be getting old on the outside, but you can make a decision. I am staying connected. I want to be on the cutting edge of what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth and in the church today. And someone ought to say amen. So the last couple of weeks, we've talked about winning the battle over anxiety. And it was really something that the Lord began to highlight as I began to dig in and do research about the causes of premature aging. And there's a lot of studies. There's a lot of information that's out there. But one of the things that's consistently involved in the list, way up high in the list, is stress, worry, and anxiety. And so for the past couple of weeks, we've preached about winning this battle, that the struggle is real. There's none of us that maybe are immune from fighting this battle, but God's heart is that we would be victorious. And God makes a way for us to live above anxiety. Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. And we've asked ourselves, Lord, is that really possible? And the answer is yes, if we're willing to live out what the rest of the scripture says. To in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, already giving thanks, already praising God, not only for what he's done, but for what he's about to do, the way he's about to show up, the way he's about to move in our life. With prayer and petition, with that kind of worshipful thanksgiving, presenting our request to God, casting our cares, casting our anxieties upon him. And we do that, the peace of God, it says, which transcends understanding. It goes beyond what you see. It goes beyond what you feel. It goes beyond your natural, practical circumstances. That's the kind of peace of God that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you've missed the last couple weeks or you're joining us this morning for the first time, and especially if that's something that you struggle with, just that weight of anxiety that can just kind of hold you back or hinder you from enjoying life and from pursuing the purposes of God for your life, I want to encourage you to go and check out those messages. You can find them on our website. You can find them on a couple different ways, Vimeo and Facebook. You can go and check those out. But this morning, I want to bring you a message out of 1 Kings chapter 19. And I want to bring you a message about winning the battle over discouragement. Winning the battle over discouragement. Because discouragement can lead to depression. And depression can lead to despair. And I want to dig into this chapter. I've been sharing recently that the Lord's just prompted me and he's just had me kind of take a little bit longer in the word and be willing to kind of read a little bit more of the chapter than maybe even what would be required to make the point. Just so that a new generation, the next generation, some new people that are coming to the Lord will begin to learn these Bible stories and these adventures of faith and these challenges and struggles that the men and women of God overcame all throughout the Bible. And it's one of the things that you'll see right here that I really appreciate about the God we serve and about the book that he delivered to us to reveal his heart is that he doesn't shy away from the difficult seasons in people's lives. This book is filled with real people who had real problems, real challenges, and real adversity. But they made a decision to turn to a real God who offers real forgiveness and real hope and real freedom and real strength to discover a real plan and a real purpose that he created you for. And so let's see what God has to say to us this morning in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's the story of Elijah, this Old Testament prophet of old who was a mighty man of God. So mighty, in fact, that in the previous chapter, chapter 18, he had a showdown at Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And you can turn back and you can look at it or read it for yourself on your own time. He challenged them to a showdown, and he said, let's both build sacrifices, and let's both call upon our gods, and let's see whose God shows up on the scene. And he even weighted it in their favor. He said, I welcome you to come around my sacrifice, and come on, you can douse my sacrifice with water. And then they began to call upon the name of their gods, and the false prophets of the false god Baal, they danced around the sacrifice, and they called out to their god, and they danced some more, and they even, you can go and look at it for yourself, they even began to harm themselves and cut themselves and mutilate themselves to try to get the attention of the false god Baal, and nothing happened. And Elijah steps up to this sacrifice that's been doused with water. Come on, everything is stacked against him. And he calls upon the name of the living God who shows up and consumes the sacrifice. And everyone saw who the real and true and living God was. So that's the pretext for this chapter. This is a mighty man of God who has just recently done some mighty things for God. And now let's read together in chapter 19. It says, when Ahab got home, he told Jezebel about everything Elijah had done, including the way that he had killed all the prophets of Baal. And by the way, the cross changed everything. The Bible says, we no longer wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and principalities in heavenly places. And so our war is not against a people. Our war is no longer against the Philistines. Our war is not against people. Anywhere in the Old Testament where you dig in and you see where there were people that were opposing God and people that were the enemies of God, now they represent spiritual forces who are on a mission to, in an attempt to divide us, to destroy us, to confuse us, to discourage us from pursuing the call of God upon our life. And so it says here that Ahab got home and told Jezebel about all these things that the prophet Elijah had done. And it says in verse 2 that Jezebel, after hearing these things, sent this message to Elijah. And here's what she said: may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you have killed them. And it says in verse 3, Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. And he went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling by day. And he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked upon hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him again and said, get up, eat some more, for the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars and they've killed every one of your prophets. And I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And watch how Elijah actually uses almost verbatim the very same answer he had given before. And he says, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people, I've served. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets. And I'm the only one that's left. And now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord told him, go back the same way that you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Snapchat. Oh, it's Shaphat. All right, sorry about that. Just threw that in there for the kids, all right? So listen, Elijah has just done these amazing things in the name of the Lord. The showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. If you go back another chapter, he just raised a little boy from the dead. This guy has got it going on. He's done mighty things for God. And now, he can't even go on. And listen, we tend to elevate these biblical figures in our mind. Oh, that's Elijah that did those things. That's Elijah that took a stand and called on the name of God and gave the place for the real, true, living God to show up in the midst of an ungodly culture and prove who he really is. That's Elijah. or that's David, or that was Moses, or that was Miriam, or that was Ruth, or whoever it is. We tend to elevate these biblical figures in our mind, but the reality is they struggled with some of the same things that are common to us. Elijah had just done all these amazing things, and now he's laying underneath a tree all by himself, saying, God, I don't even know if I can go on. One chapter before, he's defeating an entire army. And now, one angry woman has him hating life itself. Amen. Listen. I'm not even looking at that guy. I don't know who you are, brother, but you are in trouble. Is his wife with him? Is his wife sitting next to him? There's a whole other sermon right here, but it's for another day. I'm smart enough to not get into that today. Listen, this isn't about a woman. It's about a spirit. It's about a spirit. It's about a spirit. God's word says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, which implies that there is a spirit of fear. And in Revelation chapter 2, the angel of the Lord writes to the New Testament church and applauds them for some of the things that they're doing well, and then warns them, cautions them about some things that they need to be careful of. And in Revelation chapter 2, the angel of the Lord writes to the church and says, I'm warning you that you have tolerated the spirit of Jezebel. This is not about a woman. This is about a spirit. Come on, he had just taken on 450 dudes, and now this one lady. It's not the lady. It's the spirit. And you better believe that that same spirit is after you, to cause you to shrink back from the call of God upon your life. And come on, you might be involved in some great and mighty things, and you are not immune from this spirit. Right in the midst of some of your greatest victories, you better guard your heart and guard and stay tethered to the presence of God. Because Elijah had just done these amazing, mighty things in the name of God, and now the spirit has him running for his life. But I'm so thankful that God didn't answer his prayer. He said, God, come and just take my life. I'm ready for it to just end. And I'm so thankful that God in his rich mercy and his lavish grace showed up to Elijah and began to minister to him and began to lead him back to a place of spiritual and physical strength so that he could continue the work and continue the ministry that God had called him to. And listen, I believe that if you're here this morning and you're discouraged, if you're here this morning and you've got some despair, if you're here this morning and there's a weight of depression that's resting upon you, you're in good company. And here's the good news. God wasn't finished with Elijah, and he is not finished with you. In the same way that he showed up to Elijah, in the same way that he showed up and he began to minister to him and strengthen him physically and spiritually so that he could get back on the mission, back on the journey, back on the calling. It's the same thing that he wants to do for you and for me. So let's look at what God did when God showed up into his life. And the first thing that we have to guard ourselves is to not get isolated. Not get isolated. You got to stay connected. You got to stay connected. You got to stay connected to God's presence. You got to stay connected to God's people. You got to stay connected to God's promises, his word. You got to stay connected to God's purposes. And the enemy is on a constant battle. He is bombarding you with all kinds of things and all kinds of ways and all kinds of voices to try to get you disconnected from those things, to try to get you to flee from God's presence because of shame or guilt or condemnation. You blow it, and the enemy comes and tries to get you to run from God in the very moment where you need God most. And you got to stay connected to God's people. And watch look at Elijah's reaction as this spirit of Jezebel is coming on him and bringing this scheme of despair and discouragement to him. His first reaction was to run for his life, to flee, to hide, to isolate himself from God's presence, people, and purposes. Look what it says right there, verse 3 and verse 4. Elijah fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness. You cannot afford in a season of discouragement to allow yourself to become isolated. You cannot allow yourself to become isolated in a season of discouragement. Listen, next week, we start into rally weeks, and it's where we kind of feature and promote and make available and kind of make more visible the life groups of this church. And can I tell you, this is the heart behind life groups. is that you would discover relationship, that you would discover other brothers in the Lord, other sisters in the Lord, that you would discover other couples who are endeavoring to build their life and build their home and raise their kids on the Word of God, and that you would discover those kind of relationships that would begin to strengthen you in the midst of a season maybe where you get discouraged or you have some challenges. You've got some people around you that can help to speak a better word over your life than that word of the enemy that says it's over, you're done, it's too late, you might as well die. You need people. You cannot afford to get disconnected. You've got to stay connected to God's presence, God's people, and God's purposes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly in an unwavering sense. Let us hold tightly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You got to stay connected to God's people. Come on, you got to make a decision that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, we're going to be in the house of the Lord. And we're going to stay connected, and we're going to be in relationship with other people who are endeavoring to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay connected. Don't allow. Come on, that's the first thing that the enemy will come and do is try to cause you to get isolated. And Elijah, all throughout there, a couple different places through there, he said, "I'm the only one." And it said he was alone. And let me tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You are not alone. You might be going through a struggle. In whatever area of your life, you might have a diagnosis. Your marriage might be on the brink of divorce. You might have a financial difficulty, but you are not alone. There are other people who have been through something similar or worse, and God has seen them through. And you need the faith that a testimony will bring to your life. You need to get into an atmosphere like a church like this that is praising and worshiping and giving thanks and testifying and prophesying, speaking life and speaking hope and speaking encouragement over your life. You cannot allow yourself to become isolated or disconnected in a season of discouragement. Come on, someone ought to say amen. Amen. Number two, stay rested. Stay rested. Verse 5 and verse 6 say, Elijah lay down and he slept. He lay down, he ate, he got up and he ate. And in verse 6 it says, he laid down again. And listen, we are called to be world changers for Jesus Christ. And that's part of the heart and the vision. It's even why we're called Rev City. We're called to live out an active life of faith, called to strengthen and equip the men and women of God and the young people of God to be world changers and culture shapers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the reality is that that's going to require diligence. That's going to require determination. That's going to require hard work. That's going to require us to get up early and work late. That's going to require some of those things. But in the midst of that kind of a life, God commands us to rest. We have to stay rested. Listen, I'm just telling you, you cannot afford to become so tired and consumed, so exhausted and overwhelmed with the cares and the troubles of your life. That's a recipe for discouragement that leads to despair, that leads to depression. You've got to stay rested. Come on, who's felt that battle besides me? Come on, when you just get tired and you're tired and your body and you become susceptible to that, to the lies of the enemy. Sometimes you just need to take a nap. Elijah laid down. Elijah was on his last straw. He was like, God, you might as well just end it. Take my life right now. And things started to turn around when he just laid down and just started to get some rest. And listen, there's a reason that it went that way, because this is important to God. God worked for 6 days building the universe, the earth, the heavens, and all that it contains. And on the seventh day, even the Lord Most High took a rest. And if you think that you can avoid this principle and that you can just carry the weight of the world, the weight of your marriage, the weight of your company, the weight of this church, the weight of your spouse, the weight of your kids, whatever it is, if you think that you can carry it on the weight of your shoulders without resting, it's a recipe for looking up and finding yourself on the edge of burnout, discouragement, depression, and despair. God calls us to rest. He commanded us as his people to rest. He called it the Sabbath day, and he cared so much about it, he put it in the top 10 list of things to do or not to do in life. He put it in the 10 commandments: honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. And you say, well, Pastor T, we're free from the law of sin and death. Well, I don't know that there's many of the other 10 that we would think we're okay to still do, right? Just because Jesus came and made it, set us free from all those things. I mean, we still don't murder. We still know that there's pain that comes when adultery enters in. We still don't covet. We still don't make false gods. But many of us are in violation of this spiritual law, this commandment. He said, honor the Sabbath. Take a rest. For 6 days, you can work and go and blow and build and do the things I've called you to do, but you better build this into your life. Take a rest. Things started to turn around for Elijah. When he finally just stopped and just began to rest, God values rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says it this way, let us make every effort to enter into that rest, the rest of God. Come on, there's the rest you get from a nap, and then there's the rest of God for your life that comes from knowing who you are in him and comes from knowing that your life is in the palm of his hand. And on every day, the good ones, the difficult ones, and everything in between, you can trust him. That's the kind of rest that God wants us to enter into. And it seems like an oxymoron. It says, let us make every effort. Other translations say, let us endeavor. Let us be diligent. One even says, let us labor to enter into rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. What was the example of disobedience? That we can do it in our own strength. And that we can just keep blowing and going and going and building and doing. Listen, there you can gain the whole world, God's word establishes, and lose your very soul. You can build the biggest company in the world and lose your marriage and your family. You can build the biggest empire financially and lose your very health. God commands us. It's a commandment of God. Stay rested. 6 days. Work. Build. Do. Build it into your life. There's a day where I worship and I rest and I recreate and I breathe in so that I can get back to the things that God has called me to put my hands to. So number one, stay connected. Number two, stay rested. Number three, stay nourished. And Elijah woke up from one of these naps, and look what it says in verse 6. It says, he looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he rested, and then he got up, and he began to eat these things. Listen, you can get so busy or discouraged that we can stop taking care of ourselves, even our physical body. He woke up, and I just think it's super cool that he woke up from his nap, and the angel of the Lord had baked him some bread. Come on, some carbs, y'all. Some carbs. Some of y'all just need, some of y'all are grouchy and discouraged, and you just need some carbs. Sometimes you just got to hit up Munchers, man, on your way to church. Sometimes you just got to come to church and eat a donut. Some of you just need some carbs. I just think it's cool that God baked him some bread and said, here, begin to, as you're resting, begin to eat. Begin to take care of yourself. You've been so busy going about things. You've been failing to just take care of some of these things. And those kind of things start to accumulate, and you can look up, and you're not rested, and you're not nourished, and you realize, wow, I'm discouraged. And there's a weight of despair, and I'm even on borderline of becoming depressed. Sometimes God, in a real practical way, will just say, slow down and start to take care of some things. Take a nap and eat a snack. Some of you are just one good trip to Munchers away from just feeling a little bit better about life. Come on, some of you just need, someone needs to hit up Olive Garden and just hammer one of those baskets of breadsticks before they even have a chance to bring out that plastic bowl of salad that they try to bring you to, you know? Rest and eat. Stay nourished. But seriously, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I joked about the carbs and Munchers and the breadsticks, but you need to be careful about what you put in your body. And Elijah had gotten so consumed with doing the things that God had called him to do that he was forgetting to just be the man that God had called him to be and enjoy God's presence and rest and take care of his physical body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number four, stay in the Word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You got to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, and stay in the Word every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Every day. When God sent manna from heaven to provide for his people as they were going through the journey from Egypt through the wilderness to the promise of God, he sent manna from heaven. And on the Sabbath day, because he wanted them to rest, the next day he allowed them to gather 2 days' worth. But every other day, if you gathered more than one day, the very next morning it would be spoiled. And there's a principle. There's a provision. There's a daily. Come on, what God's called you to do today, he wants you to be dependent upon him for the daily bread, the strength, the nourishment, the provision for who he's called you to be and what he's called you to do. There's no area of your life that you don't need a fresh daily word from God. And you say, oh, well, Pastor T, are you saying in my busy schedule, all the things that I've got to find time to be in the Bible every day? Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. 1 minute, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, it doesn't matter. The verse of the day that you subscribe to through the YouVersion app that comes into where you just take a moment and just eat the word of God, devour the word of God, nourish your spirit with the word of God. Yes, I'm saying every day, you need a word from God every day. And there's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions about what you need to do to get your breakthrough, but I'm telling you that the only thing that's lasting and true and the only thing that's guaranteed to work over the course of time is the very word of God. And in some ways, to experience some things that we want to see happen new in our life, more of God and breakthrough in our life, we need to go back to some things, including every day the people of God, the men and the women and the young people of God, opening up their Bible, or maybe if you want to get it on your phone, and getting into God's word and saying, God, what do you have to say to me today? That's my sustenance. I can't sustain myself. I got to have God speaking. I got to have God's word. I got to have God's wisdom. I got to have God's direction for every area of my life. That's one reason why behind the scenes, I'm excited to tell you guys today about something we've been working on for several months. We're building a Rev City app. And through that app, you'll have archives of messages and sermons and discipleship materials. And one of the things we're also doing, we're busy about it behind the scenes, our staff and elders and leaders, we're writing devotionals to compile devotionals so that every day through the Rev City app, we can push a devotional into your life. And I know that there's a lot of places you could go and find those things. There's a million different devotionals and there's a million different ways that you could go, but we just felt impressed of the Lord to develop this. So every day in unity, every day together as a body of Christ, we're growing and we're devouring what God is saying and speaking to us as a family, to us as a body, what he's directing us as a church to be about in that season. So stay tuned for that. Later this fall, we'll introduce that and we'll begin to enjoy that together. But in the meantime, don't wait. I mean, come on, get your old paper Bible off the shelf and put it on your book stand or put it on your nightstand or put it on the back of your toilet. Put it wherever you got to put it, where every day you open it up, you say, God, speak something to me today. I got to be in your word. Come on, practically, on your phone, go on your device and download the YouVersion app. YouVersion, Y-O-U version. And it's a great resource for God's word. Be in God's word. Number five, and this is the last one. Worship team, would you guys come up and prepare to lead us as we prepare to respond to God's word this morning? And number five is stay serving. Twice the angel of the Lord told Elijah, get up, get moving, get going, quit throwing a pity party for yourself. Get back active, get involved, start doing what I've called you to do. Stay serving. A voice in verse 13 said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? What are you up to? I'm responding. The Lord was coming in response to this depression and discouragement and despair that was weighing upon Elijah, and it can feel so real. And the word of the Lord to him was, what are you doing? And it's interesting, if you go and read two different times, Elijah doesn't speak about what he was doing. He speaks about why he was in that place of despair. He said, well, I've served God, but the people have turned their back on me and turned their back on God, and I'm the only one. And come on, if you go read it, it is just the definition of a pity party. And the angel said, but what are you doing? Again, he came back a second time and said, but what are you doing? What are you doing? You're a prophet of God who was set apart and consecrated to the purposes of God. What are you doing? Why are you allowing the spirit of discouragement, despair, and depression to keep you from doing what I've called you to do? You say, well, but I'm dealing with this stuff. I got this real discouragement. I've got this real despair. Listen, we're familiar with the principle of sowing and reaping as it regards finances. But maybe we ought to become familiar with it as it regards encouragement. Maybe we ought to become familiar with it as it regards other things that we're struggling with. The very thing that you need, maybe find a way to go find someone else and begin to pour it into their life. And say, God, I need encouragement, but right now, until it comes, I'm just going to find a way that I can go and I can begin to pour out my life into someone else. I can encourage someone else in their finances. I can encourage someone else with the word from God. I can encourage someone else in their marriage. I will encourage someone else that God is faithful as they're trying to raise their kids. Stay serving. Hebrews 13:6 says this, do not neglect, rather, to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good. In due season, we will reap if we do not give up. And Proverbs 11, verse 25, I love this scripture. It says, the generous will prosper. And those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. What are you doing? Get up. Come on, Elijah, get up. Get up and get going. Get up and get moving. Get up and start to put your hand back to the things that I've called you to do. And just watch how as you begin to do the things that I've called you to do, that spirit and that scheme of depression, that spirit and that scheme of discouragement, you'll look up and you'll realize, wow, it's beginning to lift off of my life because I'm serving the purposes of God for my life. Come on, stand up, people of God. Let's prepare to respond to God. In verse 15 and verse 16, the angel said to Elijah, the Lord said to him, look, catch this. This is significant. He said to Elijah, go back the way you came. And travel to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. And anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha. He says, go back the way you came. Because when you came through there before, you were hanging your head. When you came through there before, you were navel-gazing. You were so consumed, you were throwing yourself that pity party. And you were missing divine appointments that I had called for you to interact with people. I had called for you to lay hands on people. I had called for you to minister to people. And he says, go back the way that you came. And listen, you need to hear this morning. Some of you have been through a difficult season or a difficult journey. And now God is saying, go back the way that you came and begin to look around about who you can be a blessing to. Who's in that same place, on that same journey, by the side of the same road. Come on, go back to that place where your marriage got off track. Go back to that place of pain. Go back to that place and begin to tell people about how God has seen you through. Go back to that place. God has an amazing way of redeeming your journey. Go back the same way that you came and begin laying hands on people. Begin calling out the greatness of God in them. Begin calling them out to the purposes of God. That's what the angel of the Lord said to Elijah. Stay connected. Don't allow yourself, people of God, in a season of discouragement to get isolated. Stay connected. Stay rested. Stay rested. Don't allow yourself to just burn the candle at both ends so long that you look up and you're just like, whoa, I just got this spirit of heaviness. Stay nourished physically and spiritually in God's word. And come on, stay or start serving the purposes of God. Start to give your life away and just watch how God begins to just refresh you and strengthen you and bring encouragement to you. All right, so let's respond to God this morning, because here's what I know. In a room this big with this many people, there are many, many of us who are in a season of discouragement. And discouragement is dangerous because it leads to despair. And despair is dangerous because it can lead to depression. And you find yourself in that place, you can find yourself right where Elijah was. God, I don't even know that life is worth living anymore. And so let's ask God, and come on, church, people of God, let's trust God this morning to deliver some of us from that spirit of discouragement. And if that's you this morning, I just want to ask you to just lift your hands just like this before God. If you're discouraged about something, there's discouragement or despair or depression that you're walking through in this season of your life. There's many hands going up. You don't need to feel you are not alone. You're not the only one. There's many people who are dealing with things that have, it's a common assignment of the enemy to try to cause us to get off track in life. And Lord, we just thank you for what this represents. The people of God presenting those situations, those circumstances, that anxiety, that depression, that discouragement, that despair before you. And when you lift your holy hands like this before God, you're in a posture of presenting something before God. This is the outward evidence of us casting those cares upon him, for he cares for you. And it's also the position of receiving from God. And so, Lord, I thank you today that you would begin to speak a different word, that you would begin to speak a better word, where there's been a scheme of discouragement, despair, or depression that has come against these mighty men and women of God and young people of God, we break that assignment in the name of Jesus. and we begin to speak a better, higher word. We speak that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We speak that they are chosen and called by your name. We speak that they are the first and not the last, the head and not the tail. Lord, we thank you that they have a hope and a future in you, God, not of destruction, but of good things, God. And we thank you, Lord, that your shed blood, your word, your heart speaks a better word over this congregation today in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this thing in people's lives. Some of you, listen to me, people of God, some of you, it might happen instantly, actually. Some of you, just today, you might leave and it's just like, that thing just lifted off of me. And for some of you, the assignment for you is to go and begin to live this life. For some of you, the assignment is to go and begin to get in God's word and begin to connect to the people of God and begin to spend time in God's presence and to even begin to come into this church and say, how can I serve and begin to give my life away? But I promise you, whether it happens quickly for you today or whether there's a prescription that God has given you today, I promise you that the Lord's heart and desire is for you to be strengthened and encouraged to run the race that God has called you to run. Amen? Amen. Come on, team, lead us. And come on, church, give the Lord a clap and a praise this morning for his word and his heart. Thank you, God.